your favorite. You can have another one if you want. And we're going to look at John. But I want to start together. Yeah, thank you very much. There is Children's Church today, so if you are part of that, okay. All right. I would like you, as we think about God's kingdom, which is coming, to join me. Would you say the Lord's Prayer with me from memory? Just as well, learn it together. Let's begin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear these words from John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. I invite you to open up your Bibles and to follow along. It's Jesus' encounter with a man named Nicodemus who came at night. Nick at night. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs that you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can a person be born again when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." I'm going to read from Matthew 16, verses 24 through 28 also. Matthew 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for a person if they gain the whole world yet forfeit their souls? Or what can a person give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels. Then he will reward each one according to what they have done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Your kingdom come, we pray. Now, when we think of kingdoms, we think of a territory or a piece of ground. And that's not entirely wrong. It's a piece of ground that is ruled by a king for a time and a season. They establish themselves. They are supreme in the land until another king comes along and defeats them. When we think of kingdoms, we think of the games like Game of Thrones or Warcraft or things like that. It's not like that at all. The kingdom of God is not about earthly powers and territories. We can define kingdoms. I think the best attempt at it is that it is the visible, universal submission to the rule of God. It's God's sovereign rule over all things, including the hearts and lives of people. That is the kingdom of God. And already in the Bible, we see that early on, whether you're talking about early Genesis, the plains of Shinar, think of the great civilizations like the Egyptian civilization, Babylonians, the Assyrians who came after them, once so tremendously powerful, are now just a footnote in history. You can think of the Roman Empire, 1,000 years reigning, and now it's just a pile of ruins. You think of China, Russia, Germany, the British Empire. They all took their turns at trying to be the supreme over this plot of ground on earth. And even the United States of America as a contemporary superpower has a shelf life that is on the brink of expiring. All earthly kingdoms are powerful for a time and a season, but not so the kingdom of God. That's the good news that we declare today. God's kingdom is unlike any kingdom that we can imagine and existed. I love in the book of Daniel's how he has this picture that just needs to stay in our mind of what the kingdom of God is like. In Daniel chapter 2, Daniel sees this little pebble that starts at the top of the hill, and this little pebble starts rolling down, tink, 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 and as it's rolling, almost like a snowball, it's getting bigger and larger, and the next thing it's doing, it's rolling down the mountain, and it's crushing everything in its path. Wow, it's growing. That it would never, ever, that little pebble grew so large that it would never be destroyed. That is a kind of a mental picture of the kingdom of God that we want to have before us. That set the stage in Daniel's time for some 400 years later. That's about twice as long as the United States of America was around, but 400 years after that time, there we see the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, where his first line, he's basically saying, here is Jesus, the son of King David. And then later on in that chapter, in verse 21, you are to give this king, the Messiah, the anointed one, the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. So we find that as Jesus' ministry continues, this is like a 50,000 flyover over Jesus' ministry. He's going around and he's talking about the kingdom, and he says, I am the king of this kingdom. All of his parables talked about the kingdom being like a farmer who sows seed or a yeast or a treasure or a pearl or a merchant selling his wares, a fish net that grabs everything. It's an employer or a king inviting people to marriage. Many parables. When Jesus referenced the kingdom of God, his emphasis was always on that spiritual side of the things, the inward character of the citizens of God's kingdom, and how he rules in the hearts and lives of his people. And nowhere is this clearer than when Jesus, toward the end of his life, responded to Pilate. He said, are you a king, like they claimed? And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But my kingdom is from another place. You see, Jesus had to suffer and die according to God's perfect plan. Just before he ascended to his rightful throne in heaven, he said to his disciples, now you go. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. But don't worry, as you're going, the king says, I am going to be with you to the very end of the age. What a beautiful testimony that is. What a wonderful assurance that we have. And so then the book of Acts comes along. And the book of Acts is a story about what Jesus does from the throne. He sends divine power to the earth. He rules over his people by his word and through his spirit, and he extends his kingdom. He's going out. And if you look at the last sentence in the book of Acts, we see Paul proclaiming. He says, Paul was preaching the kingdom of God boldly and without hindrance. The word of God, that little pebble, is going to continue to go. I don't know if you find that encouraging, because sometimes we live in a world where there's so much. The news never stops giving us bad news on the one hand, but we as Christians need to set this up against the reality that God's kingdom has come in Jesus Christ, and it is coming to this day, and that it will continue to the end of time. So we're talking about prayer, and how does that impact our lives from a prayer dimension and how we live our lives? We pray your kingdom come. We have to live according to the kingdom principles of God, not according to the culture around us, not according to the world's principles. What are we praying for? Basically, we continue to pray for a regime change. And that's where we come to the catechism. What we have declared earlier today, I proclaim to you today. What does your kingdom come mean? I'll say this again. Rule us. Oh, why don't you just say this with me again, just to stay engaged fully. And look at those little yellow words that I've highlighted, because those are going to be our 4 points for the second half of this message. So, your kingdom come means rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Keep your church strong and add to it. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your word. Do this until your kingdom is so complete and perfect that you are all in all. Well, there we have it. Let's begin with the prayer. What does it mean? Your kingdom come. Number one, make us surrender. Make us surrender. That's what you're praying when you say, your kingdom come. Make me surrender. More and more every day that we can submit to your kingship in our life. When the kingdom of God comes in our life, we are changed people. We are transformed. We're not, in one sense, the same person that we were before. We are transformed by his grace, and we become more and more like Jesus Christ every day. I ask you, brothers and sisters, are you in your life becoming more and more like Jesus Christ every day? Do people see the change in your life, in our life, in my life? I'm not saying, are you living it perfectly, but you're praying, may your kingdom come. Do the evidences point that you are following Jesus Christ more and more every day. You think about the stories of the Bible where Jesus has come into a person's life. There is a radical change in your life. Maybe you've experienced that in yours. You think of Zacchaeus, that wee little man who was stealing people's money, and suddenly he's like giving that away because all that he thought was important once didn't matter anymore. You think of that woman at the well who came to Jesus Christ, and he was thirsty, but she was spiritually thirsty. And when she encountered the living Lord, she went back and said, come and meet the man who told me everything about me. And she realized that her satisfaction, her health, her wholeness wasn't in the relationships that she was trying to carry on, but it was in Jesus Christ. Or you think of Paul breathing murderous, or Saul breathing murderous threats against the church. He was a different person when he encountered Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. See, there's something going on there. And that's where John chapter 3 helps us. That I tell you the truth, Jesus said, that's not going to happen unless you are born of the Spirit and the water. That's just the words that basically mean that unless Jesus Christ comes into your heart and you are changed by his very presence, you're not going to understand the kingdom. Religion's just going to be religions to you. You're going to come to church, you're going to go through the motions, you're going to do everything you need to do, but you have to have an encounter with Jesus Christ, and that encounter will happen in every day of your life. Make us surrender to your rule. Change us from the inside out. Secondly, when we pray your kingdom come, we're praying, Lord, strengthen your church. Strengthen your church. That's where that word add, that word that I highlighted, add, jumps out. When we're talking about addition, we're talking about evangelism. When Jesus Christ comes into your heart, you cannot contain that to yourself. You cannot keep it to yourself. It's good news that needs to be proclaimed. Do people in your family know that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your life? He is adding to your church daily those who are being saved. See, Jesus commanded his disciples to go and tell everyone, go, I give you permission. What's in your heart, bring it out in your life. To the point where Paul one day was standing in the presence of Herod Antipas, and he was just sharing the gospel with him, and Herod looked at him and said, Paul, are you trying to make me one of those Christians too? And Paul said, yeah, not just you, but I want everybody to know of salvation in Jesus Christ. That's the best news ever, and we are keeping it to ourselves. When we pray, your kingdom come, we're saying add to your life daily those who are being saved. You may have noticed on the way in here, I want to challenge all of us in there, myself included, because I think sometimes we can get so in-house. We talk about salvation in Jesus Christ with one another, but that good news needs to go out. You will notice that there are a box of life books there. Life books is basically the Gospel of John, but in it, it talks about the role of Jesus Christ in your life. And it's a fun little read, too. You should take one for yourself and read it, but take another one or two or three and give them to others, because we have to share the good news. Add to your number daily those who are being saved. And that means we have to find different creative ways to bring the gospel. Here's an easy one, and I challenge you. It's not a mandate. I cannot legislate that you all take one, but hear me from a pastor's heart saying, take one, take two, take three, however many you can take. Add to your church daily those who are being saved. You say, like, well, you know, I know some people who do not know English, but they speak Espanol, Spanish. There's also a copy of the Spanish one. There's two boxes there. Make sure you grab the right one or you're really going to confuse your friends. And then you have to start over from scratch. Libro de la vida. It means the life book. So take one of these. And if you know somebody that speaks Spanish, take one of these, hand it to them, say, read this because I am so excited about this. And then they may ask you questions. The gospel presentation is in that book as well. So, strengthen your church. Add to her number daily those who are being saved. Three, destroy your enemies. That's what we're asking. When we say your kingdom come, we're talking about a regime change. Satan thinks he's in charge of this world. And you look around and many nations, tribes, people, and tongues are under his lordship. But there is a battle that's going on. Sometimes the opposition is blatant. I read Voice of the Martyrs regularly and painful stories. I think sometimes I am a very lazy Christian compared to those who have no resources, no churches to go to, and yet they name the name of Jesus Christ. They share it with their neighbors against all odds. They are being persecuted. They are being shunned. They are being killed. Their churches are being burned. Their families are being attacked. And yet they stand up strong. That's because there's some blatant opposition. Satan hates it to see people coming to Jesus Christ. But it's also inwardly. There are wolves in the midst of every church. There are wolves that will come and they will say all the right things that you need to hear, but their heart's not with Jesus Christ. They want power. They want control. They want to be the king of their own little kingdoms. And I can point to blatant, obvious abuses, but I think of Charlie Kirk's funeral. When you listen to that, those of you who did, the gospel was being proclaimed. There was a power encounter there. But make no mistake, there are those that are trying to latch on to that and then take the gospel and change it a little bit and make it more pleasing to people. And there's a battle going on there over the hearts and minds of people. When I was going to seminary, it was the Toronto airport blessing. And we learned then there was strange things. It seemed like there was a revival that was taking place. You saw the same thing again and again. Wherever God is at work, you better believe that Satan is going to be there and he's going to work hard to take that enthusiasm, that fire, and redirect it and squelch it. Just understand that there is a war going on. Let me bring this to an end, the last final thing. May you rule completely. When we say your kingdom comes, what we are doing is looking ahead to that day. Looking ahead to today, not that it's in the future, but already it's in the here and now. Jesus rules as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but it says in Philippians, one day every eye is going to see, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess to the glory of the Lord that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, that's coming. Your kingdom come. We're living for that now. Sometimes God works in a spectacular way. Sometimes he moves subtly and slowly, imperceptibly, like growing wheat. I'm watching cornfields that are ripe and almost ready for harvest. And it reminds me that when that farmer put that seed in the ground, he didn't make it grow. He just sowed it. He cultivated it. He weeded. But it was God who was bringing that plant up and bringing the produce. And so it is with us. I'll leave you with this. Do our works show that we really want what we're praying for? If you pray, thy kingdom come, but you're not really interested in sharing the good news with those who are lost, I ask, do you really mean it? Is it really in your heart? If you pray, thy kingdom come, but don't care to study God's word, you're not hungry for God's word, you don't have an appetite for it all, then the words that you pray are empty. If you pray, thy kingdom come, but do not engage in any aspect of fellowship with God's people, are you actually living a lie? Or maybe you just don't know what you're praying for. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom has come. It is coming. It will be fully realized one day. God's peace is soon going to end Satan's pretense to the throne. And God will be all and in all. Then God's peace will last forever. Amen. Father, we come to you knowing that you are our King of Kings and you are our Lord of Lords. We know that one day every eye will see, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. But Lord, we ask that as we pray, your kingdom come, And you begin to do a work right here in the heart of every boy and girl, young man, young woman, in every family that is represented within the sound of my voice. I pray, dear Lord, that we may not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And in this way, Lord, may your kingdom grow and increase like that little pebble, start in our own hearts, but then roll out everywhere our lives may go, everywhere that you lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's receive an offering.